going to tell you, this is the highlight of your week. Praise God. I don't mind letting you know that. I don't mind sharing that with you. This is the highlight of your week. This is when you hear from God and you get help and you get to walk out of here changed. I mean, who'd have thought you could actually show up and hear from heaven? You know how God's plan worked on the earth? It was always a God-filled man or woman that God would speak to and give the message to. Praise God. Well, I'm telling you what, I have been seeking him and hearing from heaven what to share. Now, we're not here to hear from me. I'm not smart enough to help you. But Jesus is. Praise God. So we're going to believe for utterance. We're going to believe for boldness. And we're just going to share God's word, and we're going to watch it transform and change your life tonight. So let's go ahead and let's pray and believe God for boldness and utterance. Father, we're just so grateful, so delighted to be here in your presence. Father, it's humbling to be able to preach your word. Now, Father, nobody came to hear from Mike Anderson. Father, it's not about the name that's on the sign. It's not about me behind this pulpit. It's always about you. Jesus, we magnify you. We lift you up. Be God here tonight. May you have your way. But, Father, I know how you do things. Lord, and as I pray for boldness and utterance, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, words from heaven will flow through me. Now, Father, I thank you that you'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, as the psalmist of old said. And I will speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that every single person here, even though they're going through different things, in different seasons of life, in different circumstances of life, Father, I thank you you're going to speak to them. You're going to speak to them concerning their life specifically. And Father, it'll be supernatural, and it'll be a sign unto them of how much you love them and how real you are. But Father, it'll also be a sign that this is a place where they can come, a safe place, and hear from heaven. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, and Father, we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, I'm so excited about the series that we're doing, Walking in Divine Health. This is part 3. And Kimla, if you pull up Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're just going to dive in and go with what God has for us tonight. You know, when it comes to certain topics and things, you know, I remember coming into church, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, please. I remember coming into church, you know, and I grew up kind of, you know, in a religious background, and my wife did as well, and so many of you, and a lot of stuff I didn't know and didn't hear, and thought, my goodness, you know, and I remember, you know, living as a Christian, a child of God, you know, sick in body, sick in mind, had addictions and things, and here I was born again, on my way to heaven, you know, but look what the Bible says. My people are destroyed for what? Just a lack of knowledge. His people destroyed for what they don't know. Well, Jesus said the exact same thing, didn't he? He just worded it a little different. He said, if you know the truth, then what? The truth will set you free. It's not the fact that there's truth that sets you free. Truth alone can't set you free. Known truth can set you free. What's he saying? That people sometimes struggle and are in bondage to things. But there's truth. How many of you know? You were in bondage when you weren't born again. You were under the devil's authority. You were on a fast track to hell. You were in bondage. But how did you get set free? You didn't just get saved. Now you got knowledge on it. You found out about Jesus. Faith rose up on the inside of you, and then you did something about it. You received him. Well, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What I found in the body of Christ is that a lot of people are unaware or have no knowledge or are ignorant concerning the topic of divine healing. And so how do we become unignorant? Well, we don't take my word for it. Who gives a flutie-tootie what Pastor Mike says if it's not the Bible? Amen? Who cares what the TV preacher says if it's not the Word of God? Who cares what Grandma and Grandpa so-and-so said if it's not the Word of God? We judge everything by the Word. And so many people, I know myself, my wife included, many people that are here tonight that would testify, had no idea. They were born again, had no idea what the Bible says about divine healing. So we're going to look at what the Word, keep looking at what the Word says about the subject. Now, I said if you're going to receive from this, you're going to have to do a couple things to even start. You're going to have to lay aside what you think you know. You're going to have to lay aside what you've been taught. Now, if it's the Word, don't lay it aside. But how many of you know a lot of times we cling to our traditions? We cling to things that we've been taught or things that are comfortable. Well, how many of you know I don't know it all, you don't know it all, there's things we just might not know yet, praise God. Hallelujah, there's things that we might just have to learn. And so if he said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Jesus said if you don't know, we better get into the know. And you got to lay aside things you've been taught. You got to lay aside how you feel, things that you're comfortable with. Well, that's not how we've done things. That's not what's comfortable to us. Well, wait a second. God's not interested in our comfort. He's interested in us being blessed by doing the Word of God. You look this up, and it'll be eye-opener to you. John chapter 6, Jesus preached a sermon. At the end of the sermon, the Bible said that many of his disciples, from that point on, followed him no more. Now, we know Jesus wasn't preaching wrong. He was the Word of God. He was perfect. But the Bible says what he preached, it rubbed them the wrong. He said, that's not how it is. So, because he was talking about how he's the bread of life. He said, no, our fathers fed us manna in the wilderness. Talk about the Old Testament. They're saying, well, we want to hold to our traditions, our Old Testament. Jesus said, no. There's a new way. And they said, oh, I don't know. I can't. That's hard for us to understand. And it says, from that point on, many of his disciples, what's that mean? People that followed him, turned their back on him. Why? Because they were uncomfortable. Why? Because they didn't understand. It was different than they had ever been taught before. And what did Jesus do? He didn't beg them to stay, didn't grab their leg and hold them as they were going out the door. No. He turned to the 12 and said, are you going away too? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. What was Peter saying? Lord, what you're saying is what we need. Well, how do you know what we need? If it's in the Word, you need it, praise God. So lay aside how you felt about things, and just be open-minded with the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. We also said this, you can't judge God on healing. This is a dangerous thing the devil will do to people. You can't judge whether God's a healer or not based on a circumstance, based on what somebody else is going through, or based on what you're experiencing in your life. Can't do that. You don't judge God by experiences. You don't judge God by circumstances. You judge God by this. This is the final authority. I remember I had a preacher, I was going away to Bible school, and the preacher said, why are you going to that Bible school? That's a Bible school that teaches divine healing. I said, that's where the Holy Ghost told me to go. So, well, you know they teach divine healing, and that's not the Bible, right? It was a preacher telling me this. I said, what do you mean it's not the Bible? Well, I thought a preacher would give me scripture. No. He said, Sister so-and-so in my church was one of the most faithful people I had in my church. She loved the Lord. She served at everything that we asked her to do. She was just the sweetest lady, and she died of cancer. That's what he said. He said, well, if it was God's will to heal, if there was anybody in the world that God was going to heal, it was going to be her. So God evidently is not a healer. Well, I didn't know very much back then. I know a little bit more now. I still don't know very much, but I know a little bit more now. I would have liked to say back to that preacher, well, is it God's will to save? Well, the Word says it is. It says that Jesus died that whosoever would believe. The Bible, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to the knowledge, right? It's 100% God's will for every person on earth to be born again. But let me ask you a question. Is every person on earth born again? No. Is it God's will for one person to go to hell? Sure is it. But do people go to hell? Yes. Well, I guess that just means if it's God's will, it's just going to happen. No. Doesn't matter it's God's will. People have to cooperate. If you didn't cooperate with his plan of salvation, even though it was his will for you to be saved, you wouldn't be saved. It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with prosperity. It's the same thing with all the promises of God. And so many people have been hoodwinked by religion for so long, had the wool pulled over their eyes and thought, well, I'm going through a sickness. This just must be his will. No, why don't you find out in the will what his will is? When somebody dies and you wonder, man, I sure wonder if grandma left me in the will. How could I ever know? How could I ever know? Read the will. Houston, we have a problem. Read the will. Find out. Well, I'm just going through this, I'm going through that. Yeah, you were also on a fast track to hell, but that wasn't God's plan. It was to save you, praise God. So let's look at the Word and see what the Word says. We showed you last night, I do encourage you to get on the website. You can Google Family Church Allegheny, get on the website. We are recording these services, they are archives. And last week we saw clearly in the Word that God's a healer. I mean, I said this last week, if you leave last week's service and you're questioning whether or not God's a healer, I need to check your pulse and see if you're alive. I'm serious. You might not be human. We have to check and see if you are a zombie. You know those zombie movies? You might be one of those people. Because we clearly showed you in the Bible. Remember this? You don't have to back there in the sound booth. You don't have to flip to all these scriptures. You can write these down. I'm just going to go real quick through a quick review here. Remember in Exodus 15:26, God said, I am. I am the Lord that heals you. Well, I sit here and I tell you, I am Mike Anderson. And you don't sit there in your seat and say, no, he's not. I am a man. I'm not a girl, I'm a man. You don't say, no, I think he's a girl. I have gray hair. No, he doesn't. I am short. No, he's really tall. You don't fight me on that. But why, when God says, I am the Lord who healeth you? That's what he said in Exodus 15:26. We'll look at some of those things tonight. He said, I am. A lot of people say, oh, I don't know if God's a healer. Why in Exodus 23:25 do you say, I'll bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you? That's what he said. He said, I will take. Oh, no, I think God wants the sickness to be on my body. Wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to know. Because if you think at all that God's behind the sickness, if you think that God's at all behind your disease, and when it comes a time when the doctors say it's incurable, and when there's no medicine that can help, and God's the only answer, if you're a little bit convinced in your head that he doesn't want you to be healed, or that he put it on you, or he's okay with you being sick, you won't go to him with the faith required to receive your healing. Because the Bible says we receive the promises of God through faith. What's faith? An unwavering belief. In fact, James chapter 1 says, verse 5, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. That's what the word says. So we go to him for healing. We got to go with faith. What's faith? A full assurance. Well, I just wonder if God wants me sick. If God wants you sick, you're certainly not going to go to him for your healing. So we laid the groundwork last week. What did it say in Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget. Don't forget his benefits, he said. See, people forget all the time. What's our benefits? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and. You know what and means? It's included. With the thing before, it's a benefit. One benefit of his is that he forgives your iniquities. Another benefit is, and heals all thy diseases. I just wonder. I wonder if God wants me healed. Why don't you find out what he said in the word? Praise his name. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. Nobody forced him to do it. He gave us the word and healed them. Praise God. Well, Pastor Mike, you know. See, that's your problem. You got to get rid of the well, Pastor Mike, you knows. And that stupid tone of voice that you use when you say it. Get rid of it. Flush it. It's not helping you. So I don't know if God's a healer. Well, why don't you look at Jesus? You want to know who God is? People say, oh, God's such a mystery. No, he's not. Just look at Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19 and 30, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I'm only here to do my Father's will. That's what he said. What was Jesus? A God robot. Only doing what God wanted him to do. That's what he said. He said, I'm only saying and doing his will. Well, the Bible says Jesus went about teaching, preaching, healing. How could he do that if it wasn't the Father's will? He'd be violating the Father's will. What about Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 when the leper came to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. Well, why would Jesus say I will? Because the Father said I will. Why? Because God says I am that God. But people argue with him all the time. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why. Because they take personal situations and circumstances. Well, if it's God's will for me to be healed, why am I sick? Oh, I don't know. There's a devil. Will you pull up Acts 10:38, please? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. I want to know who God is. Look at Jesus. It'll tell you exactly who God is. Jesus was the physical representation of God on the earth. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed. Who did it? Who anointed? Wait, God did this? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So God gave him anointing, a power. With the Holy Ghost and with power. So God says, I'm anointing my son with the Holy Ghost and power for a purpose. What's the purpose? Who went about doing good and what? Healing. Wait, what's the next word after healing? All. God anointed his son with a power to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by who? The devil. Wow. This one that steals, kills, and destroys. Yet our Father gets credit for everything. I heard someone at a concert over at St. Bonaventure, it was years ago, stand up in front of 10,000 people and bragged about how God gave him a disease. And I thought, I have two kids, Caleb 8, Abby's 5, she's almost going to be 6 this month. I said, if I make them sick on purpose or hurt their lives like God gets credit for by his children all the time, He said, you're going to throw me in jail. You're going to call the police on me. Right? But God gave me this disease. Oh, did he? My Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. And my Bible says that the devil that oppresses, not God. Oh, the devil's a big fat liar, and he tries to get people convinced in their head. Why? Then they don't run to him. They don't run to him. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2, I'll just read it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. I wonder if God wants me to be healthy. It says it right there. It says it right there. Well, are you ready to go forward tonight? Praise God. Let's do it. Let's go forward. Now you need to get that message last week and get that in your heart. And get so convinced. See, people always sometimes say, Pastor, if it's God's will for me to be prosperous, why am I broke? If it's God's will for me to be healed, why am I sick? Well, why do you think God gave you faith? God gave you faith to turn those situations around. You know what's funny is we love the verses that we're more than conquerors. Ooh-wee, I mean, put it on a t-shirt. We are more than conquerors. We love those things. And we love 1 John 5 and verse 4. It says, Beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We love that. But if you want to be more than a conqueror, and you want to be an overcomer, guess what? There's going to be times in life you're going to have to conquer and overcome some things. I wonder why I'm sick. Well, because there's a devil. And God gave you the word and faith to get through it. Well, I wonder why sometimes I can't pay my bills and I'm broke. Because there's a devil and life happens. But God gave you faith in the word to get through it. Amen. Judge God by things that are going on in the outside. No, I judge God by this thing. Well, we saw last week who he is concerning this whole healing thing. Now I want to show you who you are concerning this healing thing. Because if you don't know who you are, oh man, that's trouble when you don't know who you are. And so I want to show you. But first, go with me. You're going to have to follow along with me. It's going to be a little teachy here for a second. And now we're going to get right back into some things. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. Says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Now look at the next three words. As a servant. For a testimony of those things which would be spoken of after. Now notice what the Bible calls Moses. A servant. Did you get that? Now go with me to Romans chapter 9. Again, I told you this would be a little teachy. Now what was Moses? He was an Old Testament saint. Moses didn't live to see the days when Jesus had died, rose again. Moses didn't have the opportunity to be what we call born again, right? Now go with me to Romans chapter 9. It says, Romans chapter 9, verse 6, not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are Israel. Verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. What's he saying? Not all the seed of Abraham are considered children. But in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. One of the lies the devil will tell people is, you hear this concerning other religions, that everybody's a child of God. No, it's just not true. I heard a producer one time talking, but was put on the spot about a movie that they made, and they said, are you saying that only the Christian is the child of God? I said, no, we're all God's children, not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. Now, the Bible said that Abraham, or Moses, was a servant. Now, look what it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. So it says, we're not all children of God, only the ones according to the promise is what it said. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. You remember how to get to Galatians? General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That'll help you. Still helps me to this day. I was thinking of it in my head just before I turned there. But Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Look at this. Galatians 3, 26. For you. Now the Galatians he's talking to are the Jewish people here. You are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now drop down to Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Son's a different word than servant, isn't it? I told you to be a little teachy. Let me get through it. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, verse 7, you, talking to the Jews, you who have now received Jesus are no more a what? Servant. Than an heir of God through Christ. Now flip back to John chapter 1 and verse 12. So when it called Moses a servant, we get a clear picture here when he's talking to the Galatians. He says, you used to be a servant, considered servant. They were Jews, God's people, but they weren't children of God. They were called servants, just like Moses was called a servant. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them, everybody say to them, not to everybody. To those that receive Jesus, to those people, that group of people, he gave the power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Everybody's not a child of God. The Bible says the ones that receive Jesus or by faith in Jesus become children of God. In fact, are you ready? There's two spiritual entities in the world, God and Satan. Remember when Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. You're either God's child or you're Satan's child. That's all there is spiritually. There's no middle ground. You're either Jesus's or you're not. And if you're not, you're the devil's. I know this isn't the stuff that's popular you see on TV and radio ministry. But my God, we're not trying to be popular around here. We're trying to be faithful. And the Word says that the ones that receive Jesus are children. Now, he was talking to the Jews back in Galatians, and he said, you're not no longer a servant. What's he saying? You used to be a servant, even though they were God's people. Moses was God's people. I mean, Moses is one of the most faithful men and mighty men that God ever used. And the Bible called him a servant, didn't call him a son. Why? Well, you can't become a child of God until you receive Jesus. Moses couldn't receive Jesus. He hadn't died and rose again yet. He hadn't been able to be born again, born into the family, adopted as one of the children. So my point is this. We today are in a much better position than any Old Testament saint you could ever read about. They were servants of God. We as born-again children are, born-again Christians are children of God. Now, this is what I want to say to you. Go with me to Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. So if we're called children, and the Old Testament saints like Moses were called servants, let me ask you a question. This is very facetious and very obvious, but it's to get a point across. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. When I go to dinner with my family, I am sitting there with Court and my two kids, and we're sitting there, and every restaurant I've ever been to, I've never had to wait on myself and go get my own food. When you're at a sit-down restaurant, right? What do they have? A server comes to you. Man or woman. What do? They serve you. Now, when the server comes to my table, there's now an extra person there, the server and my children. Out of my children and the server, who has more access to daddy? The server or the children? The children. Who has more access to daddy's resources, the server or the children? Now, I want the server blessed. I don't want hardships and bad things to happen to the server. But who's daddy more obligated to, the server or the children? Absolutely. Now, Hebrews 8:6 proves this. It says, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Listen to this. Better covenant. Remember, the Old Testament Jews, they were in covenant with God. Absolutely. They were in covenant with him. But the Bible says Jesus came to have a better covenant established upon better, everybody say better, better promises. Remember 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Aren't you glad there's promises? So the Bible tells us that the Old Testament saints, they had promises. They had a covenant, but they were servants. And just like we just established, when the servant comes over, they got more access to daddy than The children have more access than the servant. The children are more blessed by daddy than the server is. And he said, I've come to give the children a better covenant, established upon better promises. So why are you telling me this, Pastor Mike? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. If you hold your horses, I'll get there. If we can find in the old covenant that healing belonged to the servants, if we can clearly find it in the Word, that healing, divine health, bodily healing, head to toe, if it belonged to a servant, then because of Hebrews 8 and verse 6, and we're children now, we don't get less than the servants get. If it can be established, now if it can't be, it can't be. Listen, if God wants you sick and God's the sickness giver and God doesn't want you healed, that's what I'm going to preach. Because we can't have anything that he doesn't want us to have. We can only believe for what's his will. But if we can establish that the Old Testament servants, not even children, had healing that belonged to them, that was provided for them, that was theirs, that God wanted for them, and we get better, we don't all of a sudden go from a vehicle that has air conditioning to a vehicle that doesn't have air conditioning or heat. That's not better. We don't go from a vehicle that has all four nice tires to a vehicle that has baldies, you know, and rust coming out, and you can't even open the door and say, I got a better vehicle. No. Better means what it means. Better. That means we at least get what they got. Amen. I have to laugh at just common sense. Because you're going to see the word, it was clearly offered to the people of the Old Testament. I mean, healing was one of the top parts of the covenant for the people in the Old Testament. And yet now Jesus dies for us, and we say, God loved them better. That's moronic. It's stupidity. It's religion, and the devil gets into people's heads. Because so many people stand up and preach circumstances and preach it's not God's will to heal. Listen, I saw it with my own eyes. A preacher in the area, when I say in the area, I mean within, I'm not saying if it's 5 minutes away or 50 minutes away, it's in the area within an hour, preaching that God puts sickness on people and that God does it just for a reason. Well, if I did that, you'd throw me in jail. But for some reason, my daddy's a worse daddy than I am. Stupid. But we don't go by what I think or my opinion. What does the Word say? Well, let's find out what the Word says. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. I remember laying there when my appendix exploded. My appendix had ruptured. It took me 3 days to go to the hospital. I didn't know. Poison had gone through my body, and I was on the verge of death. They said to my family, they said, it's the worst appendix we've ever seen. He should not be alive. And because of that, the poison went through my body, ripped through my body, and it did some nasty things for me. A normal surgery for an appendectomy is a day and a half, 2 days. You're out of the hospital. I was there for over 2 weeks. Another thing broke down in my body. I had to have another surgery while I was there, and they told me it'd be a year before things got back to normal, and it'd be some things in your life would never leave you. That's what the doctor said. And as I'm laying there in the worst pain of my life, the thing that got me up out of that bed and confessing that God's goodness and believing for God's healing, number one, first and foremost, was my father doesn't like me in that bed. My father doesn't want that sickness. That doctor's report that the doctor's given me, my father's not pleased with that. My father's not okay with that. And that motivated me to get up and get going, praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Now again, if we can see it in the Old Testament, the Bible says we have a better covenant than they did. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass if you, who's the you here? The children of Israel. He's talking to the Jews here, the ones he had covenant with. If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. What's he saying? This is the covenant. If you get in covenant with me, this is the blessings for following my ways. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall come on you and overtake you. If you, who's the you here? Again, you got to know the audience. He's not talking to us right now, just so you know. One of the main things about finding out what the Bible has to say and what it means is find out who the audience is. The audience here is not us. Now, we get it because we get just as much as they had, but the audience here is not the born-again Christian. He's talking to the Jews here. If you, he said, all these blessings will overcome you and overtake you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Don't tell me it doesn't pay to serve God. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command blessing upon you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand to, and you shall and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people in himself, as he has sworn in him. If you shall keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And I will make you plenteous in goods. What? What do you mean? You mean you're interested in us having stuff, God? Yep. He said, I'll make you plenteous in goods. In the fruit of your body. And in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord shall give unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give you, to rain, land, and season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. That's called prosperity, by the way. When you're doing the lending and not the borrowing, that's called prosperity. I love it that people say, oh, God just wants us to be humble and poor. Yet he sits on a throne in heaven with gold on the streets, but he's a deadbeat father and wants his children on the earth to struggle. You see how stupid religion is? To brainwash people that God wants you sick and God wants you broke. Yet our Father sits in heaven blessed and... No. Our Father wants us to be blessed on this earth, the abundant life that Jesus said. Remember, Jesus prayed, thy will be done on the earth just like it is in heaven. Jesus said, I want what's going on up there to go on down here. Yeah. And the Lord, verse 13, will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day. You shall not go aside from any of the words that I command this day, to the right, to the left, the other gods will serve them. Now, then it says in verse 15, but, it shall come to pass. What's he saying? You break covenant with me. Now remember what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30? He said, behold, I have set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. What did he say in this verse? Now verse 16 all the way down to verse, like in the 60s, it talks about all the things by not following God that can come onto your life. Well, the New Testament sheds light on that. What does Romans say? The wages of sin, or the wages of not doing it God's way, is death. Well, he said here. Remember the children of Israel? They walked in the wilderness, didn't they? That'd be called death. For 40 years they wandered. Was that God's plan? Nope. God said, I give you a land. If you'll choose to believe me, you'll walk into that land. They didn't. So they're walking in death. Well, he says here, I've laid it out, verse 1 through 15. If you'll follow me, be in covenant with me, this is the blessing. If you won't do it, sin will come. The wages of sin will reap, will cause death to come into you. And you see, if you read down through 15 through 60-something, all the places that mention sickness in the body. Well, see, verses 1 through 15 took care of all the good things that need to happen in the body. He said, the fruit of your body will be blessed. Set you on high, praise God. Here's the crazy thing about the biblical scholars that fight whether God's a healing God. Well, you just never know. No, you do know. Read the Bible. All the biblical scholars will agree on this one thing, that God was a healing God to the Jews of the Old Testament. It's not even a question. Go with me to Exodus 15, 26. Well, as I read these off, please turn, you don't have to turn, you can look on the screen, but now remember, he's talking to the Jews here. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Be quick back there, because I'm gonna just rattle these off. Look at the last. Go to the next part of that verse. It's a longer verse. Sorry, there should be two. There we go. Look at the last part of the verse. This is him talking to the Jews. I am the Lord that healeth you. What's he saying to the Jews? We have a covenant together. One part of the covenant is I'm a healer to you. Remember when the Bible says he brought them out, the children of Israel, 2 million people, said there wasn't one feeble one among them. Not one sick one among them is what it said. That's impossible with 2 million people. That's what the word says. Go to Exodus 23, 25. Now remember, he's talking to the Jews here. Exodus 23, 25. Did God have a healing covenant with the Jews? That's what we're finding out. And you shall serve the Lord your God. Well, isn't that what Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 said? If you'll do this, follow me, all these blessings will overtake you. you'll serve the Lord your God, he'll bless your bread and water and also do something. What? Take sickness away from you. What am I showing you? The Jews had a healing covenant with God. God was their healer. Psalms 103, verse 1. I know I already read these earlier, but let's look at them now. It's something to look at them. It's one thing to read them. It's one thing to look at them. Psalms 103 and verse 1. Look what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Now remember, he's not writing to the born-again Jews, born-again Christians here. There was no such thing as born-again Christians when this was written. It was written to the Jews. So what did the Jews have? Verse 3. What was one of the benefits in verse 3? He said, I'll forgive you, and I'll heal your diseases. I guess God had a covenant of healing with the Jews. Yeah. He did. Psalms 107, verse 20. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word to who? The Jews, and healed them. What am I pointing out to you? That the Old Testament saints, who were considered servants, clearly, by following God, had a covenant where if they were sick, God would take it away. That God would heal them, that God would bless. It's not even a question. It's so clear. That was one of the benefits of following him. And what does Hebrews 8 and verse 6 say? But he has obtained a much more excellent ministry, founded on better covenant, better promises. Well, the Old Testament saints had healing, but we don't. Oh, so you're telling me that God went to extremes for you and gave you Jesus and took away your healing? Where's that in the word? It's not. It's in opinions. It's in people's circumstances and what people, it's in what religion teaches. Come on now. Go with me to Luke 13:11. We're almost done. Luke 13:11. Wait till you see this. Ooh-wee. Now you don't want to miss next week. And I say, Pastor, of course you're going to say that. Nah, listen. You think I'm just trying to fill seats? I started a church in South Dayton, New York. In August of 2009, the Lord spoke to me when I was in a cherry orchard picking up brush. And he told me, he said, you're going to start a church in September of 2010 in South Dayton, New York. South Dayton, New York has 600 people. When I started that church, it was me and my wife, and Caleb was in her belly. We had nobody that had signed up to come with us when God told me to do it. When I went looking in that place, there was nobody that said they were going to be with me. In a town of 600 people, you don't start a church. If you're out in the people business in a town of 600 people, you just don't do it. Unless the Lord tells you to do it. Praise God. And it's grown, and we got a beautiful big new building that God blessed us with. And God's doing a work there. But I'm not after the people. So when I say you want to be here next week, that's because I'm telling you, listen, I don't mind preaching empty seats, empty pews, don't matter to me. Some of my best sermons have been in a tree stand preaching to the trees, the squirrels, and the deer. I'm just telling you. You should have heard some of those sermons. Next week, we're going to show you. Oh, we're going to show you. You know the one thing that you're absolutely convinced about? This is a preview, by the way, is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I can't talk you out of that. I can't talk you out of it. But I'll show you in the Word that he died just as much for your sins as he died for your sickness. I'll show it to you next week in the Word. Don't take my word for it. I will show you clearly that not only was your sin laid upon him, your sickness and disease was laid upon him. And you know, we get so excited because we know Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Yay, I don't have to go to hell. I'm saved and I can't talk you out of it. Billy Graham could show up here tonight and say, Pastor Mike, you're not saved. And I'd say, I'm sorry, Mr. Graham, I am. I am. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We're convinced about it. Nobody can talk us out of that. But when it comes to healing, we're like, oh, I don't know. But I'll show you the Bible. It's the exact same thing. Now, they do different things. But the price he paid on the cross was not just for your salvation. Yeah. See, I don't know. We'll come back and find out. You'll know. Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. Look at this now. What are we establishing? That the Old Testament people had healing. Luke 13, and we'll close it in this portion of Scripture. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. What's that? A spirit of sickness. 18 years she's sick. What kind of sickness did she have? She was bowed together and in no way could lift herself up. That's terrible, isn't it? Bent over like this. for 18 years in her body. Her body broke down. 18 years she's like this. And look what it says in verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, now remember, this is pre-born-again days. Still dealing with the Jews here. A lot of people don't even realize that most of the New Testament was actually Old Testament stuff. Pre-Jesus dying on the cross. Now, again, we can receive the principles and stuff he taught, but the audience here is not a born-again woman. It's a Jew. Jesus hadn't died yet. There was no Christian yet. It says in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her and said, "Woman, you are loosed." Well, I guess God didn't want to keep her sick. Jesus couldn't do that unless that's what God wanted. But he said, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." What's he say? You're free. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, Jesus healed her because that's what God wanted. And look at what verse 14 says. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Why is he not celebrating? Because religion doesn't like divine healing. Because religion, apart from the word, is not motivated by God. Let me say that. Religion, apart from the Bible, is not motivated by God. It's motivated by the devil. I'm just here to tell you the truth. When people stand up and preach other than the Bible, that's not motivated by God. The word is our answer. That's how we stay safe. That's how we stay free, praise God. But look at here now. The ruler of the synagogue, who? The guy that should be the church guy. The guy that should know God. Answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days and men which ought to work." You know how the voice gets when they get all religious on you. And he said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day." He said, that really happened. Oh, I've told you the story, just real, I'm going to speed it, like make it in light speed. Of the girl at youth group years ago, the Lord showed me, I was driving around, I had a vision. All of a sudden I saw myself in youth group that night, sticking my index fingers in a girl in someone's ears. I didn't know it was a girl or a boy, sticking them and saying the words, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." Well, service was going on that night, and there was hardly any kids at youth group that night. Most of the kids had something going on with school, so there was a few of them there, and one new girl. And I was given the salvation call, and it came up in my heart, that vision. I saw it again. I knew I was supposed to call someone out for hearing problems. Well, I got into my head because the crowd was small there that night, and I knew none of our youth group kids had hearing problems. They tell you everything they're going through. It's the way kids are. I knew. I said, "I'm not calling." I said in my head, I'm having this conversation in my head as I'm giving people opportunity to receive Jesus. I said, "I'm not calling this out. This new girl ain't going to come forward for this. She's going to be embarrassed." So I just kept going out with a salvation call, telling people about Jesus, how to receive Jesus, and it kept coming up in my heart. Well, finally, I said, "I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight." So I said, "All right, I'm just going to tell you what happened." I said, "I was driving around today praying for service." I said, "I've only been using visions a few times, not very often, you know, and every vision that you ever get's got to line up with the Bible or don't accept it." People, you don't go by visions, you don't go by dreams, you go by the Word of God. But if they're from God, they'll always line up with the Word of God. That's how you stay safe. I said, "I saw myself in this service calling out an ear problem, someone coming up and then receiving their healing." And I said, almost sarcastically, "Who is it that has the ear problem?" Now, I didn't think anybody would come up. She shot out of her seat and came forward. Started to tell me what she's dealing with in her body. Said, told me about the amount of hearing loss that she had. And it was a substantial amount in both ears. I said, "Well," her name was Brittany. I said, "Brittany," I said, "this is what I saw myself doing. I'm going to obey God." I said, Jesus spit on the mud and wiped it in some guy's eye. Why? That's what the Holy Ghost said to do. I said, I could just touch you on the head or I could just grab you by the hand and say, "Be healed." I said, "But I saw myself sticking my fingers in your ear." I said, "Do I have permission to stick my fingers in your ear?" She said, "Yes, Pastor." So I did, and I put them in there. I mean, I dug in there. I was digging. And I went in there, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Exactly what I saw in the vision. She starts instantly bawling. I mean, weeping to uncontrollable where she can't breathe. And I thought I'd popped an eardrum. Because I went in after. I thought, "Oh, God, I heard her. Oh, Lord Jesus, I heard her. We're in trouble now." She drops to her knees and raises her hands in front of all the kids, her first time youth group, and starts screaming, "I can hear, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear." True story. I can hear, I can hear. I couldn't get her under control to stop the service. So I had some of the faithful girls dragged over to the corner, and they just sat there and praised God with her for the next half hour to an hour. I mean, we're talking about youth group going on making dino nuggets. You know what dino nuggets are? They're those dinosaur chicken-shaped nuggets. I mean, we made dino nuggets. We couldn't even pull her off the floor to stop worshiping God to eat a dino nugget. She's over there just praising God. I can hear. Never saw her again. Found out mom and dad got mad about that healing business. Say, does it really happen? People get mad about healing? Oh, you better believe it. Why? Because religion's not motivated by God. Relationship's motivated by God. It's true. Well, I ran into her a couple years ago at the mall. She was working a booth that did the wrapping for people that are not good rappers like me, you know, for Christmas presents. And I didn't recognize her at first. And she said, Pastor Mike. And I looked and said, Brittany? She said, yeah, remember years ago? She said, remember you laid hands on me? And she laughed. Actually, remember you stuck your fingers in my ear? She said, my hearing never went bad. It's been completely healed since then. I was so thankful. But people get mad about this stuff. And look what he said. He said, there's 6 days which to work. Men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed, not on the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered and said, you're a hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? What's he saying? You do something on the Sabbath that's good. It's good to get your donkey water and food. It's good. You do that. Now, this is what I want you to see, verse 16. Oh, man, oh, man. And look at Jesus' response about this woman, who's what? A Jew. And ought not this woman, you say, how do you know she's a Jew? The next line tells us, being a daughter of Abraham, Jewish. Ought not this woman, Jesus said, ought not this woman. Who cares if it's the Sabbath or not? He's saying something belongs to her. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Remember, God anointed Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not God, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. What's he saying? This woman is a Jew. I don't care if it's Sabbath or not Sabbath. Because she's a Jew, Jesus would know the law and the covenant better than anybody. He was the law and the covenant. He's the word. He's saying this woman, healing, belongs to her because she's a Jew. And in the covenant of the Jews with God, healing is apparent. It belongs to them. And Jesus' response said, she shouldn't be sick. She's Jewish. She's one of God's people. Come on now. It would be like you coming over to my house or peering into my house and seeing. Now, I mow my own lawn, but I don't do my own mulch and stuff. That wouldn't be good. She don't want me to do that. She don't want me doing that stuff, you know. We find someone that's good at doing that stuff. So they come to my house, and what do? They serve us. They do a service for us, right? It would be like peering into my dinner table and seeing the guy that does my mulch. And me and my wife sitting there eating a wonderful meal and being filled up and full of joy. And the servant eating all the meal and getting filled up. And my children off to the side begging for food and starving and us not giving it, you would look in and say, that's not right. They're children. If the servant gets to eat like that, the kids don't get less. And you would say, that's out of order. And you can look at that both ways here. Jesus is looking at that and saying, that's out of order that she's sick. But if Jesus expected it for a servant, what do you think Jesus expects for a children? Amen. Next week, we'll seal the deal on this when I show you that Christ died not just for your sins, which I know the majority of the world preaches, and they should, but that's not all he died for. He died so that you wouldn't have to be sick. He died so that when sickness and disease come on your body, there's an answer. Jesus paid the price. Oh, I'm so excited for next week. I could almost just preach it now, but I won't do that to you because I know those pews get hard, brother. I know, we don't want to make you check out. So I'm not coming back there ever again. But I'm telling you what, the Old Testament Jews, healing was theirs. You are in a better position than they ever were in. What am I trying to tell you? If you're going through sickness or disease or it knocks on your door, You need to renew your mind to this, that healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. I'm a child of the King. The servants, the mulch people, the people that bring your drinks over, they got it. I don't get less than them. Amen. But until you renew your mind to this, because it takes faith to receive, and if you're not convinced that God wants you healed or that He's a healer, you will not press forward into these things. You'll sit there and, well, I guess God wanted this for me. I've been sick for 5 years. I guess that's just what He wants. Well, like I've always said, you could have looked at the children of Israel wandering around for 40 years and they could have said, that's what God wanted for them. They're His people. That wasn't what God wanted for them. God gave them a promised land, but they didn't cooperate with God. Woo-wee, are you glad you came? If you're not, just keep your mouth shut and just keep it to yourself. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, this church is going to be a church that preaches the Word. This church is going to be a church where people actually experience God's promises. We've had healings, we've had miracles, we've had signs, we've had wonders, praise God. Oh, yeah. I mean, I gave a testimony. You want to hear? Go listen to my service from Wednesday night in South Dade. I gave the testimony about that lady on the second row, Julie, right there, that's going to do our children's church, about the testimony of a Christian that came into the things of God, loving the Lord, just disease and sickness all over her body. But she was going to heaven if she died. But she heard about Jesus, heard about the Word, started to use faith, and now it's all gone. And I could go on and on and on about testimonies of people that have received that. Oh, that's what this church is going to be like. Praise God. We're not here to play church. Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to preach the Word, and we're going to flow with the Holy Ghost. And we're going to watch people's lives be changed. God wants to be real in your life. I'm tired of reading about the Old Testament people experiencing His power. I'm tired of reading about the people in the book of Acts. God doesn't love us any less than the people in the Old Testament and the people in the book of Acts. We are His children just as much as the New Testament people were. But somewhere along the line, things got watered down and man got involved and watered this stuff down. No, no, we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back, the book of Acts type of days. Why? I don't find an expiration date in my Bible. Well, that passed away with the apostles. Where's that? All I see is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. If it was working back then, it's going to work today. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, that doctor that said to me, there's things you'll never get cured of, Pastor Mike, with that appendix, said, you waited too long, that poison went through your body. He said, there's things that will be a year, and you won't be better. Certain things won't go away for a year. Certain things will never go away. Within 2 months, every single symptom had left my body. I got home from that hospital, and things got worse. A lot of people say, well, I guess that's not God's will for me to heal. No, I know too much. I know what the Word says. I said, no, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, sickness, you got to leave my body. You're trespassing. You're trespassing, sickness. Just stood with it, praise God. In 2 months, I was completely free. Went back to the doctors. They were amazed. Not because of me, because of Him. He'll do the same thing for you. But it all comes down to what you know. Why my people are destroyed for what they don't know. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. We're so grateful, so thankful. Oh, Lord, this series is setting people free, changing their lives. Father, I didn't know until I knew, but once I knew, things changed. And Jesus said we can't be free until we know, and if we don't know, we won't be free. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here tonight. I lift them up to you. And Father, I pray that their eyes would be open to this. Lord, I know what it's like to come in and hear something different, something that challenges what you've been taught or what you think, something that has challenged the way it's always been or the status quo in your life. I know how uncomfortable that can be. But Father, I pray that people would push those things aside and they would say, if it's you, God, I want you. And the way we know it's you, and the way that we can be safe and not be steered off some cliff or drink some Kool-Aid is by sticking with the Bible. That's our safety net. So, Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open to this, Lord, and that if they have sickness in their body, their minds would be renewed that you're not okay with it and that you gave us Jesus and you gave us faith so that we could use our faith in Jesus to be free from that. Father, that you don't want us to have any part of that sickness and disease, just the same way that I don't want any of my children to be sick. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of these people here or listening online right now that, Father, get a revelation of this stuff. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody, if you bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Ask yourself this question in your head tonight, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know without a shadow of a doubt the answer is yes, I would go to heaven. And the only reason I can be sure of that is because of what the Bible says. The Bible says if I believe on Jesus, I will not perish but have everlasting life. It's not because I've gone to church. It's not because I've tried to be moral and live a good life and have my good deeds outweigh my bad. It's not because I've tried to be generous financially that gets me into heaven. No. Jesus is the measuring line. He's the litmus test when it comes to heaven. So if you're here tonight, you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I sure would want to go to heaven. Well, it's a free, it's an easy gift. There's only two things you have to do. Believe and receive Jesus. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. This is between you and God. But the Bible says we must receive, we must call on his name to be saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never received Jesus and you say, I do believe in him, Pastor Mike, but I've never received him, I've never asked him into my heart. Listen, you don't have to understand everything about the Bible or understand everything about Jesus and a guy raising from the dead. It might be a little weird to your mind and be like, I don't understand it all. But in your heart of hearts, you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I believe he was real. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Anybody at all in this service never done that before? Again, you're not joining this church. You're just making a declaration that I believe in Jesus. Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. If there's anybody that's never done it before, lift your hand high in the air. Anybody that's never done it before? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that everyone in here is born again, walking with you. But if by chance somebody in this room or listening online now or in the future on the archive has not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. It's not about raising your hand. It's about calling on his name. And if you're here and you should have raised your hand, you didn't want to because you were shy, or if you're listening and you want to get involved in this, all you do is call on his name from a humble heart. And just say this, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll come in and dwell on the inside of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the next step for your life is to get planted in a Bible-teaching church. After we get planted in a Bible, it doesn't have to be this one, but I'll tell you, I'll preach the word here. Get planted in a Bible-teaching church and do what the word says and watch your life begin to change. Let's just all stand to our feet and worship him before we go and thank him. He's worthy of that. Lord, we love you tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you have done. Father, for all that you have given to us. Lord, we bless the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. Thank you for what we received tonight. Lord, thank you for where we're going. Thank you for what you have for us. Father, we say there's more for us, and we want all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Don't forget, Tuesday night at 6, you are dismissed.
friend. I am accepted. I know who I am. I am secure. I'm confident.